We've had a joy getting to know the Pearson family this weekend. To give you a backstory, I don't know, about a year and a half ago or so, Pastor Drake's Branch Baptist Church invited us to Mimo's. And so I and three of our deacons went to Mimo's, and we heard the guy, Ron Larson, who's in charge of planting churches in Baltimore at the North American Mission Board, and then one of his church planters, Matthew, share with us their vision for Baltimore. And I've been on Ron Larson's mailing list ever since. And so a month and a half or 2 months ago or so, we got an email about the Pearson family, how they're going to be planting a church in Baltimore. And I felt at that time during our Annie Armstrong Easter offering emphasis that what a great opportunity for us to hear from one of our very own missionaries from where our dollars go and eventually meet their ministries. And so it's a delight to have the Pearsons with us. We had a lot of fun yesterday. We went over to the Scoop and were able to talk to some folks from other churches at a meeting at the Scoop, and even saw them praying with the two teenagers that were running the Scoop. It was a very good time. And then we came back. We had a wonderful pulled chicken barbecue dinner, and I played some ping pong. I won. Sorry, Michael. I talked a lot of smack, and then he almost actually beat me. Played some ping pong. We shared our stories, learning more about each other. It's been a delight to see Cameron holding our kids and them just all of them playing together. And then hearing the boys goofing off and they're trying to go to bed was a lot of fun too. And I said to Leslie, see, I need some boys in this house. But let me read to you a profile about the Pearson family that they've given to us. It says, a profound revelation came to me at age 17. Change now or spend the rest of your life in prison. God was speaking to me and I didn't even know it. Though I was scheduled to be transferred to an adult correctional facility on my 18th birthday, I was given a leadership role in mentoring incoming juvenile inmates. This gave me clearance to stay and finish my sentence as a minor. Following my release, my goal was to obey the law and stay out of jail, but the environment to which I returned promoted everything but freedom. Shortly after coming home, I met my future bride, Janet. It was the light of Christ in her that led to my surrender. God then opened doors at Thaddeus Stevens College, where I graduated with honors. Today, Janet and I celebrate 15 years of marriage. We have four amazing children, our oldest beginning his junior year in college. By the way, he's on an all-tuition scholarship, a tuition-free scholarship to college. Our family has been so radically transformed by the life-changing power of Jesus Christ that we have dedicated our lives to his service. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it, John 1, 4, and 5 say. In the light, Baltimore is a place where God is changing lives. Our mission goes beyond restoring the individual to strengthening the marriage and family as well. Our church plant is home to unique family ministries that include Re-Engage Marriage Ministry, Kingdom Architects, which is men's discipleship group, a Holy Housewives women's discipleship, and then parenting classes. And then a ministry called Beautiful You, which is a purity ministry for girls 7 to 18. We impact Northeast Baltimore by implementing our four drivers. We'll end with this. They want to reach people, evangelism, teach people, discipleship, release people, church plant, and then partner with people, connect with kingdom-minded churches. And what I love about this model of releasing church plants, you have someone that hasn't even gone to plant a church that's talking about planting other churches. And I just want to give you a statistic in the Southern Baptist Convention that most churches that are planted by churches that are 5 years old or younger. And so our older churches and traditional churches are not, and the ones with the most money even, are not the ones that are planting churches. It's our ones with less resources but more faithfulness that are planting churches, that are planting churches, that are planting churches, this constant cycle. And so I applaud you for that model. That is, it's going to be a hard model, but it's a godly model and biblical one. So, Michael, would you come at this time and bless us with the word? And keep this up here, because this is recording you.
Thank you, Pastor Matt, for the opportunity to share the word of God with you guys. And I'm excited to be here with you guys today and share what the Lord is doing. It's my wife, Janet. We've been married, celebrating 16 years of marriage in June. Yeah, so thank you for dealing with me, you know, putting up with me. I got her a big wedding ring, you know, an engagement ring. That's how I got her, you know. Now, my daughter's here with us, Cameron. She is 14. She's a freshman in college. I'm sorry. Yeah, in high school. Doogie Howser. No, but yeah, the oldest son, yeah, he's a junior, and he's just loving life. You know, he built a community there at the school that he's located, and so he's just excited to be there. When he comes here, he feels like he's away from home at times, you know, so he was excited to go back to school last time I was talking with him. And our boys, Jake and Silas, these little guys are, you know, and Saturday morning, they wake up. I mean, they don't come out of their room until about 12. Like, we have to tell them to come down and eat lunch. You know, they're up there playing. The Legos are built up, you know. And one thing, Matt has these, what is that?
Connects.
Oh, my goodness. They're down there, and it's like, they want to touch it. I'm like, don't touch it, boys. Okay. And they gravitate towards it. They want to touch it. So when we woke up this morning, you know, Silas is just staring at it. I said, maybe when we're after service, you know, Pastor Matt will allow you to just touch it one more time. So he's looking more forward to playing with the Kinects than anything else. And so, yes, excited to be here. And so, yes, my family and I, we are, you know, responded to this call of Jesus to go and make disciples in all nations. And so I'm like, all right, you know, I'm scared. This is not what I signed up for when I became a Christian. I just wanted to sit in my pew and relax, you know. And I was just mentioning earlier, like, these pews, you guys are living it up, because ours are not cushioned. They're hard. So when the preacher's going on and on, you know, you feel it. You know, oh, he won't pass his 30-minute mark. So the Lord is calling me, like, Baltimore, Maryland, you know, it came to us. It's not like we were looking for it. Our ideal of church plant was continue to work, you know, at the jobs that we were at. So I made it to be a supervisor at my job at the natural gas company. My wife's an x-ray tech, and she, you know, and supervision was right in her sights as well. And but we wanted something in a more comfortable context, you know, where we can just continue working, you know, count on that steady paycheck coming in, and, you know, and just plant a church somewhere nearby our house. But God is, we don't think like God. And so he's more grand in his vision. So he's like, no, I want you to actually leave your job. I want you to leave that paycheck. I want you to leave the state that you're living in. And I want you to go. And it's like, no, yes, okay, we'll do it. You know. So, yeah, it's a challenge for us, because we're leaving all that we know. It's the comfort that we, you know, have set up for ourselves that God is calling us out of. So very, very exciting time. I mean, our emotions are everywhere. We're happy, excited, you know. When we spend time with the Lord, you know, we're like lions. You know, we're ready to go. Like, who wants it? You know, where's the devil? And then there's days where I'm like, I just told Jen, I'm like, I'm unemployed. My last day working was Friday, you know. So we just resigned. She resigned in February. And I'm like, babe, I'm unemployed. You know, it looks bad as a husband, you know, but I'm employed by the Lord. You know, I'm on fire. You know, we're going to do this for the Lord. So just excited about that. Baltimore, Maryland, I looked up the statistics, and it is number 7 on the 10 worst cities to live in. It's like, wow. But their murder rate is like the number 1. And I'm like, and this is where you're calling us, Lord. Like, I want to protect my family. And so the fact that we can, you know, Pastor Matt, you know, received our profile, and that, you know, the Lord was just drawing his heart to us. We are drawn from you guys for that prayer, you know, to know that we're going into territories where there's darkness, and that, you know, that Satan's kingdom of darkness is there, you know. And as you were speaking earlier, you know, that the children are being desensitized and thinking it's okay to do things contrary to the word of God, you know. So to go there and say, okay, the light is going to shine in these dark places, you know, and we're going there in the strength of the Lord and on his word, this is going to happen. Not in my strength, not in hers, though my wife is little, you know, she's short, but she's like a chihuahua, like she, it's like she's a Doberman Pinscher, though, you know, like she's short, but, you know, like, don't mess with her, so. But one thing that my wife and I, we grew up in dysfunction. We know what it looks like. We both come out of single parent homes. So like my dad, I'm one of 13 that we know of. My dad has, you know, kids to 8 different women, and we just wonder when we get together, it's like, how many other kids could there be out there, you know? And so he wasn't there in my life. He wasn't investing in me. He didn't build me up in any ways that helped me be confident in, you know, in any way. And so for me, growing up was, I found acceptance with the drug dealers and what I found, you know, with the guys running the streets and vandalizing, and that's where I got my identity from. And so for the Lord to call me up out of this and say, I want you to be a light to, you know, to Baltimore is scary, but I'm totally trusting in Him. The fact that I'm going to leave my job, you know, I'm trusting in the Lord that He's just going to do something amazing and spectacular. For my wife and I, again, you know, just coming out of this context of dysfunction. But today, because of the Lord, you know, we stand strong, we stand united, our family, we're passing on a legacy to our children that this is what happens when you partner with the Lord. This is what happens when you honor Him, you know, that we've been married, we're going to celebrate 16 years. And when we tell our friends that, to them, it's like we're celebrating 50 years, you know, and so it's amazing. I feel like when her and I are talking about what the Lord is going to do, you know, in Maryland through us, that I'm like, I read the scripture and it says that, you know, the faith the size of a mustard seed is all that we need. But there's days I'm like, Lord, I need the faith the size of an avocado seed. I need something bigger to hold on to. But I'm just trusting in Him. You know, we're going forward. I keep focusing. I just keep going back to what the Lord has done in my life and in her life. And what, you know, and just using that as, this is what He can do going forward. Like, we didn't make it this far on our own. You know, our parents didn't put enough into us for a strong foundation. But the Lord is building that now in us. And our children are receiving that. So the legacy that we're passing on to our children is much stronger than what we started off with. And that's what I'm excited about, that. And so this step of faith has brought us here today. I'm like the result of discipleship. And that's what I want to talk to you today about discipleship. I was asking the Lord when I was driving home from work one day, and I said, Lord, what do you want to speak to your people? What do you want to say to them? This is the people that you've been building up. This, you know, through Pastor Matt, you know, and the pastors before him, but you guys been here for, you know, since 1920. And I'm like, Lord, what do you want to say to your people? And I heard in my spirit, it was discipleship. And as I was thinking on that word, I was thinking, okay, discipleship, but why and how? What is it that you want out of that? And it was discipleship that leads to advancing the kingdom of heaven. And I was like, okay, I like the sound of this. You know, it's talking about movement. It's talking about taking over some land. It's talking about going forward. Because there's Satan out there, and we see the evidence of his work. And so I was already, when I was thinking about that, I was like, okay, the verse that came to me was Deuteronomy, and it's in chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. I want to read that to you. And in this context, Moses is speaking to the people, and he's saying, listen, we're about to go into this land that God promised our fathers, for, you know, that went before us, this land that's flowing with milk and honey. Get ready. I've been pouring into you. I've been building in you this culture of relying on me and trusting in me. And I want you to go into this land that you did not, you're going to reap from this land where you have not sown. You're going to, you know, have buildings that you did not build. But one thing when you go into this land is these people have been serving other gods. They've been worshiping other idols. And God is saying to his people in this that I don't want you to practice what they practice. I'm putting you in there to possess the land, to take over the land. This is going to be your land now. And so as he's giving a speech to them, because they've already had the Ten Commandments, he's like, okay, get ready. Because it's going to be a culture change. It's going to be a shift that's going to happen. You're going to be met with resistance. But I've called you to this place. And the Lord has establish Eureka Baptist the same way. It's like, okay, I'm calling for change in this place. And you guys get to be part of what God is doing here. And so the verse reads, starting in verse 1, these are the commands. I'm reading out of the Holman translation. I'm King James, New King James. I like that version. But in the midst of moving, the King James got put into a box and I was left with the Holman. So these are the commands, the decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land that you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and your grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you. You will have many children in the land, flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you're rising up. This is what he's telling them. This is how he's encouraging them to go into this land. And what I like about this verse is that he's telling them, this is discipleship. When you talk about me, when you're telling your kids about me, when you're telling your friends and you're sharpening each other up in the word because you're being strengthened in what the Lord is doing, you're getting encouraged. And so you talk about what he's doing in your life, and now you're getting built up in his word. And so that's discipleship, because now you're spending time with one another and you're building up this expectation of what God is going to do. And here they have an expectation of the Lord taking over this land. And they're getting excited, you know, about it. Yeah, they're scared, just like we're scared about going to Baltimore. This is a land that, you know, where evil is running rampant. But the light, the strength is in the Lord. Our strength, you know, he's our joy. He's our strength. And it's going to turn around. And it starts first by speaking the word of God and speaking about him and building up that expectation. And as we speak it, the word goes out and will not return void unto the Lord. And so discipleship, I was familiar with discipleship, but not in the context of church. I was in a place called Abraxas, and it's where they sent drug dealers. So I was there, you know, spending time. And it was while I was there that I got this revelation that if I don't change my life, this is what my life is going to be, in and out of jail from going forward. While I was there, my brother and my cousin were arrested for shooting some guy. And so my counselor came back to me and said, listen, you know, got some bad news. You know, your brother, your cousin, you know, I don't know how long they're going to be away for. And so my brother ends up spending 3 years in jail. My cousin spends 8 years in jail. And I'm there and I'm like, I don't want this for my life anymore. I want change in my life. When I leave here, I want to live an honest life as best as I know how. And so first thing I started doing was I started complying with the rules in the place of this of a practice in this juvenile facility. And I started doing well, and I started doing good enough that where I rose to the status of becoming an advocate. And it's funny they use that word advocate, because we know that the Holy Spirit is our advocate. And it was my job was to help those that are coming into the program to learn the schedules, to learn the do's and the don'ts and the ins and the outs and how to comply with the program, how to advance in this program and then be released as a changed individual. So that was my job to do. So I learned about this discipleship, but in that context. So I did well enough. I get released from out of there. And now I'm on the streets. And I got decisions to make. Am I going to go the way of the Lord? Am I going to go back to my old ways? And I've had many people that, even when I went back home, I had my younger and my older brother still, you know, just living that lifestyle that I came out of. So when I started dating Janet, she got me into the church building. she was living this life that I wanted. I was struggling. I had two jobs and ends were not coming together for me. She was doing well though. She had already, she had Khalif, you know, and she was working part-time. She was going to school and she was financially doing a lot better than me. I'm like, how do you do it? She's like, it's tithing. I said, you're lying. You don't get better at this, you know, through tithing. I have sold drugs, I know. She was telling me, even if it's $10 that she got for a paycheck, she's giving a dollar to the Lord. She was faithful and committed to doing this. And I had no choice but to trust and believe that tithing was going to help me out, you know. And sure enough, you read in the scripture and the Lord says, test me. See if I don't open up the windows of heaven for you, you know, but trust me. And finance is a big thing. And so I was like, all right, I'll give it a try, you know. And so I went to church and it was not only Janet, but it was these men in the church, Amos Diener, Dave Parker, my pastors in this church that were my model. They modeled before me what it was to be a Christ follower. They were my disciplers. They invested time into me and they were telling me where I was wrong and how, you know, how to be a godly husband, how to raise up good children, you know, and how to invest in them and do discipline with my children. There was a lot I needed to learn. There was a renewing of my mind that needed to happen because I've learned so much from dysfunction that her and I coming together, we could repeat the cycle of dysfunction. Or we could just go on a new path in life, you know, of the Lord. And so so I got this discipleship. And today I'm here in front of you because of discipleship. I'm here to go forward and advance God's kingdom because of discipleship. These people who believed in me when I didn't believe in myself saw potential and invested in me. And I want you to know that today as well, that the Lord is calling you here to stay together, to be strengthened with one another, talk with one another, have conversations about the Lord, build up that expectation. And I know that Pastor Matt, I asked him about the vision of the church and where he wants to go and do, you know, where's the Lord leading? And there's a lot that he sees, and there's a lot that he wants to do. And as you're sitting here and receiving the word from him, you're going to find out that direction. You're going to mend hearts. Hearts are going to, you know, just click together. And you're going to say, you know what, Matt, wherever you go, wherever the Lord is directing you, I'm going to go. I'm going to give all my all to the Lord because he's speaking. The Lord is speaking today. And my perception, so yes, my perception of the Lord and his ways were totally opposite. These people invested in me. I'm coming to the Lord now and I'm just, the old man is going away. It was a process. It's discipleship, it's sanctification, but it's slowly I'm coming to this new person that the Lord says that I am. As I read his word, he says I'm victorious, I am bold and I am courageous. You know, not because it's just me alone, but because the Spirit of God is in me, that I can go forward now in confidence and trusting in him. As I was coming to be that person, as I was moving toward what God was calling me to be, I was met with a lot of resistance. My brothers and friends, you know, I was like, okay, I'm not living that lifestyle anymore, but they're still living it. And so they're tempting me. And I feel like this attack that when I got saved, that things got worse than my life. You know, it didn't get easier. It got harder when I gave my life to the Lord. And I was reminded that, you know, I'm reading the word, I'm learning more about the Lord. I'm reading the word, and I read this story about John the Baptist, who's in jail. And I believe that he's in jail at this time because he was calling wrong, wrong. He was standing for righteousness. He was standing on the word of God and saying no. Like, what the things that he was seeing, he was calling out. And so there's this king who now has this Herodias. Is this woman that he's with, but it's his brother's wife that he's with. And so John the Baptist is like, that's wrong. You cannot do that. And so now he's sitting in jail. So as he's sitting in jail and he's hearing about what Jesus is doing, he's getting these reports that Jesus, you know, is doing this and that, you know. And so he sends his disciples out and says, ask this Jesus if he's the one who's come to deliver us. Because I'm sitting here in jail for standing up for what is right. And this is not good, you know. And so his disciples go out and they see Jesus and they're asking him, John the Baptist, wants to know, are you the one that we're expecting, or should we expect someone else? Are you the one who's going to deliver us? And he says, go back and tell him that the blind are receiving sight, that the lame are walking. Tell him that the dead are being raised to life. And so they go back and give this report. But the people that were still there with him, he's telling them, but listen, I want you to hear this. And this is found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 through 12. He's telling those people after the disciples left to go tell John this. He says, I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been advancing forcefully, and violent people are attacking it. And so when I read that, and I'm like, this is confirmation that what I'm going through, I'm actually on the right path, that I'm going following the Lord and I'm being met with resistance. But Jesus said that that's what happens, that when we go forth, that the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, is unhappy. And so he's trying to discourage us. He's trying to distract us, to get us off the path that God has for us. But we are strong. We are his chosen one, his loved ones. The Spirit of God strengthens us, gives us strategy and wisdom. And we can move forward in that confidence that the Lord God is going to do things, not only, you know, here in Eureka, but we're expecting for Baltimore with fresh eyes and new hearts and new strength. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 7, and verse 7, I was reading that earlier, but one of the things in there, he talks to them about, he says, when you're on the road, he says, when you're talking about me, even when you get up, when you go to sleep, when you're moving around and about, talk about me. That's advancing the kingdom, right? But Jesus was demonstrating to his disciples about how to do that. He was training his disciples on that the kingdom must continue to move around. Don't get comfortable in one spot. Don't sit there and just, you know, and settle. There's new land, there's new territory to take over. He's telling them, he's going to one place and say, okay, let's go over here. We're going to cross over the sea. And he goes and he heals a man that was blind. He goes back over and delivers a man who was demon possessed. Then he goes down the road and it raises up a girl who was dead and brings her back to life. He's teaching and training these guys about kingdom advancement. You can't stay in one place. It has to be on. The kingdom is always moving. Our feet should be getting tired. We should be running down the soles of our sneakers and stuff of going forward and telling people that God's kingdom is here. Because Jesus was a carrier of the presence of the kingdom. And we are too. We are carriers of his presence. We are carriers of his kingdom. Wherever we go, we bring that where we are. You go to we went to the ice cream shop and we were talking and just the vision and the plans that God has for us. And we started praying for these Eli and Brooke, these two kids there, because they overheard our conversation. And we know that, and our prayer was that they are stirred up by hearing what the Lord is doing in us. And so we prayed for them because we want them to get on board on what the Lord is doing, that the kingdom is moving. And what we actually prayed for them is that God would bring people to them. It's different, you know, that we go out and really pray for people and then get them on board with the Lord, get them on board with what the Lord wants to do, to open up doors and say, does it matter, you know, your social status, come in here and receive of the Lord, because the kingdom is here. So if you need prayer for healing, if you need prayer for, you know, the vision and the plans that God has for you, if you want support, we're here for you, even in an ice cream shop. And so I just look at the life of Jesus and what he was doing, and he's establishing these guys, their identities as well. So he's teaching and he's training them to go forward, to keep moving, but he's also taking men who are just plain fishermen and he's turning them into fishers of men. They went from ordinary men to changing the world, and we're reaping what they've done. But now there's more of us. They start off with 12. We got thousands. We got millions of people who are calling themselves Christ followers. And our king, and his kingdom needs to continue to move forward and advance. Amen. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that's going to change a man, that change anyone. But it's our responsibility as Christians to make sure to intentionally invest time into people, to love them where they are, where they're at, regardless of what they came from, to show them that there's a better way, that show them that there's a purpose for their lives. It's our responsibility to do that. Our conversations with one another in discipleship has to go deeper than sports, has to go deeper than the weather. We need to talk about, you know, what's going on in our lives. There's a lie from the enemy that if we don't open up with one another, and I know for men this is hard, vulnerability is hard, showing, you know, revealing what's in our nothing box is hard, you know. Janet actually, she would call me emotionally constipated because I wouldn't share with her what was going on inside. I would just, you know, she'd share with me the things that's on her heart, and I would just give her this blank stare, and she's like, I need more from you. She needed emotional connection. She needed a spiritual connection with me, you know? And so we have to open up and go deeper. The more we isolate ourselves, we make ourselves more available for the enemy to take us out. We're called into community. We're called to be to watch over each other. And I'm glad for the partnership. I'm glad that he reached out to us, because we go into Baltimore covered, because I know that you guys will pray for us, and we will pray for you guys as well. And so we look to advance God's kingdom together. This is kingdom advancement right here, and which is part of our vision, to partner with people that want to see God's kingdom go forth. We want to see cities change. We want to see lives change. We want to see the lost say that they were found. Amen. And so there's a word that I want to speak over you guys. I want this word that I speak, though, to kind of, I want it to carry you throughout the year and longer if need be. And it's an encouragement, because as I was praying and seeking the Lord, I just felt that this is what he wanted to say for Eureka Baptist. And it comes out of 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. And I'm looking at my time. I know I need to wrap up. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king of Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. But David was told that they were coming, so he went into the stronghold. The Philistines arrived and spread across the valley of Rephaim. So David asked the Lord, "Should I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord replied to David, "Yes, go ahead. I will certainly hand them over to you." So David went to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there. "The Lord did it," David exclaimed. "He burst through my enemies like a raging flood." So he named that place Baal Perazim, which means "the Lord burst through." I like this better in the King James. It says that the Lord breaks through, breaks out. The Lord breaks out. And I believe this is what the Lord wants for you guys, to not settle, but to look to more land, more territory to invade, to see where there are lost, to see those areas where the kingdom of darkness is reigning, and to go there. And in this text, it says that he removes the enemies from before them, but it's going to take someone to allow the Lord to break through in those areas. I believe that even as you guys go out to Guatemala, you know, you've made missions trips, that there's people whose hearts are burning for something more. I believe that someone left Guatemala not wanting to leave. I believe that God is stirring hearts in here for more land, for more territory. And as you trust, as you lean on him, you're going to give the Lord that opportunity to break out and remove the enemy from before you for kingdom advancement. Amen. So I ask you today, what piece of land is going to be on your sites? What are you going to talk about in your homes? How are you going to build up the expectation of what the Lord wants to do in you guys? He wants to do something. He wants to break out. He wants to show you how mighty he is. And he's inviting you. I believe he's giving you permission to do so. He's calling you out today so that you will go.
And as you go to those places, someone's going to be left behind. Someone's going to be left there to continue to disciple those people that you minister to. Just as Paul went around on his missionary trips, he left Titus behind in Crete. He went to someplace else, and he left Timothy behind in Ephesus. As we go forward, we leave somebody behind in those places for kingdom advancement, development, discipleship. And I believe that that's what's going to happen here. As you make yourself available to the Lord, he's going to do so. He's going to fill you up because there is movement, there's growth happening. And I believe that Pastor Matt is the man that he's called for that here. So you guys are under a man that's on a mission like Jesus. He's a man with an assignment, and he's going to hear from the Lord, and you guys are going to hear with him, and you guys are going to go forth, and you guys are going to take over land and territory. Get ready. Get ready. So I want to end with prayer, because I know you guys are getting hungry. but yes, I'll just end with prayer. Lord God, I just want to thank you for the time here, Lord. You allowed me to share, to stir the hearts, Lord, that your kingdom is what is needed, that people will go forth trusting in you, Lord, here at Eureka, that you're stirring the hearts. I know that whom you call, you're equipping, Lord God. I know that I felt in myself that there's so many things stacked up against me that disqualified me, Lord, but you look beyond that. You look into their lives and you're calling out their potential. You're calling out the gifts and the talents, Lord, from them, and you're going to send them out to, Lord. They are qualified. Age and it doesn't matter where your social status is, the Lord is calling you, and I pray that your ears will hear the Lord speak to you. I pray that he will give you visions and dreams of what he wants to do in you and where he wants to take you. I pray that you will be receptive, and I pray that as a church that you guys will link up with other churches here and strategize and move forward. That this land here will be the land where revival has broken out and take place. Stir the hearts, Lord. Give the visions, give the dreams. In Jesus' name, amen.